This is Radio Free Peace. I am Brian Gentry, and to my left is Michael Witte. Michael is the producer and engineer of Radio Free Peace. Our special guest this morning is Ron Strand. Let's give it up for Ron. Welcome.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
Doing good.
Did you give me some applause there? Was that applause?
That was applause. I wondered if you could hear it.
All right.
That's our...
Well, yeah, you got a massive studio audience there again.
I guess we do. Ron is the executive producer of this three-part series called A Band Called Love Song, which we want to dive into. But also, not only are you a businessman, but you're the founder of The Upper Room Presents in Orange County, California. And you and I have had quite a history with that. We'll talk about that as well. So tell us real quickly about A Band Called Love Song, how you got involved.
Well, I have known of the group Love Song since back in the early 70s. When I was a young Christian.
Right.
And they were a very iconic band. One of the very first Christian bands that came out of the Jesus Revolution, as they call it now, from the movie. And by the way, the band Love Song was portrayed in the movie Jesus Revolution.
Yeah,
because
cool.
They played such a large part during that time.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were a little bit poorly portrayed in the movie because it wasn't anything like they were. But they were an iconic band, and I've always loved their music. One of the first things that captured my heart as a new believer was music.
Yeah.
And music I could relate to. And these guys had kind of a sound, kind of like Crosby, Stills, Nash meets the Beach Boys, you know, meets America.
Grateful Dead.
Grateful Dead. Yeah, and all original stuff. Guys that were incredible musicians and who were actually very new Christians at the time. And I could tell you a little story about how they came in. They came in to one afternoon into Chuck Smith's office, Pastor Chuck Smith, who's the founder of Calvary Chapel.
Right.
Said, hey, we're new Christians. We've kind of been putting together these songs, and we'd like to maybe come and play it, a Monday night Bible study here, because that's where all the young people were coming at the time. And he said, well, I wanted to be kind of safe because these guys came in, you know, in an old hippie van, and they were all long-haired, and I wanted to make sure their theology and everything was good. He said, but they went in. I said, would you go out and get your guitars and come in and play me a song or two? And so they did that, and he said, when they start playing, the Spirit of God just moved him.
Wow.
And he says, well, can you play tonight? You know, it was a Monday night. And they says, well, we can. And he says, one of our guys is doing weekends in jail for a marijuana rap, but he gets out today, so I think we can do it.
That's funny.
How raw these guys were, you know, at the time.
I love it.
But each of the guys in the band are just, you know, still wonderful believers. And so when we're doing the Upper Room, you know, the whole idea of the Upper Room Presents is having bands and musical artists who came out of that era.
Absolutely.
Because they still have a lot to offer, but not a lot of places to play. You know, a lot of the churches just aren't having these guys in anymore. So I had Love Song a couple of times at the Upper Room, and the third time I had them in, I talked to the guys. I said, what do you guys think of let's videotape or, you know, film the concert, and we'll put out a live DVD.
Yeah.
I knew nothing about any of that stuff. And so I hired this video crew to come in, four cameras and, you know, a big boom that they brought in so they could zoom in across the stage and really cool effects. But when we got the footage back, we realized that we didn't orchestrate the concert, which, you know, a good producer would do for a, you know, live concert DVD.
Right.
And so we had, you know, it'd be like a scene where this guy was going off on this great guitar solo, but none of the cameras were on him. And just different things like that. The footage was quality footage, but it just wasn't orchestrated properly.
Gotcha.
We just felt like, what are we going to do with this? So we kind of did a few different iterations where we'd do a little bit of the concert and we'd cut away to some interviews. And then later we got it into the hands of a producer in Southern California, a guy by the name of Jerry Stanley. And he was a fan of the group as well. And he said, I'd love to put this thing together. So we took it from kind of, I guess, a little amateur type of piece to a piece that just is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And we interviewed a lot of the people from the era. You know, Jeremy Camp's in there, guy from Switchfoot, Chad Butler, Michael W. Smith, Greg Laurie, Paul Clark. You know, just there's a whole number of guests that came in and we interviewed for the project.
Yeah, that's
and,
so cool.
And then just interviews with the guys in the band of their memories. So what we've created is it's a documentary about love song, but the documentary captures the era. The guys didn't want this to be an ego piece for themselves, like, you know, hey, look at us, how great we were. Mm-hmm. But they wanted to convey the spirit of the time, you know, the time of the Jesus Revolution, the Jesus Movement.
Right.
And so we've got a lot of the history, a lot of great vintage footage, a lot of great still shots, cutaways and interviews, and it just plays well. And we've done some test marketing with it. You came to the one we did in Nashville last year.
Right.
And,
awesome.
And we've gotten real positive feedback. So we are at a place now where we're final editing's done. We're going through legal processes right now, and we're going to start our marketing, and it'll be released sometime probably mid this year, maybe a little bit later, but it'll be on a streaming platform yet to be determined. But we have some offers that some different streaming platforms are interested in it. So that's where we are with it.
Cool. Hey, I want to hear more, but first let's turn some folks on to a tune. Which one do you want to kick it off with? I'm thinking of Welcome Back. What would you like to hear?
Well, Welcome Back is a good ballad. It doesn't really show their rock and roll roots, but it shows what great balladeers they were, and it captures the heart.
Cool.
You know, let me set it up this way if I can. We interviewed Pat Boone, who was actually very instrumental during the early Jesus Movement with a lot of the young groups. Matter of fact, one of them was... It was your buddy, your late friend, Dan Peake. He produced him. But Pat says, you know, when he heard the song Welcome Back, he said it broke him. And he said it was, matter of fact, when I was interviewing him, he kind of broke down. So it's a very touching song. So let's hear that one, yeah.
Right here on Radio Free Peace.
Welcome you back.
back on the show here with Ron Strand, and we're talking about the Love Song documentary that's coming out later this year. I'll tell you, Ron, you know, I grew up in the radio business. My father was a broadcaster, and he and my mother, they owned a station. And that was when I was about 16. It would have been 1976. My dad was probably like going, "Hey, son, listen to some of this really cool Jesus music. It might help you because you're a mixed up teenager that plays music all day and smokes pot, you know." But I remember getting that Love Song album out and putting it on. I had like a quad, you know, cool Pioneer quad stereo. In my little groovy, I had taken over the guest house at 17 years old, and kind of like your guest house that you used to host people in, you know, out in Laguna Hills.
Laguna Hills, yeah.
Yeah, and what a great place that was.
Oh, yeah.
That first album, I Know What You Mean, it's like hearing Welcome Back. It does something to you. And when you did have the premiere, we watched part one, didn't we?
Yeah, you watched the entire part one, and that was the edited version. There's been a few little changes in there, but probably nothing you would notice. Each episode is just under an hour each. So much footage from the time, you know, from the era. We've also noted people, obviously, who came out of that era, who found faith in Jesus Christ during that era, are really, really enamored with this piece. But what we've also found is some young people that we've test marketed for that were in some Christian universities. We've done some screenings for them, and they are like blown away. They're saying, "I had no idea that this was going on. This was cool." They said, "I wish there was something like this that was happening in our generation."
Yeah,
and
I mean,
so it's almost like we found another market, you know.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, I was looking over the bio and I saw where Mark Allen Powell, who was talking about how that first album was the best-selling Christian album to date. I don't know if that's still the truth, but back in the day, I guess it was. Is that correct?
You know, I don't know. I don't know that I've heard that statistic. I know it probably was at the time. I don't know if that's held out, you know, over the years. I can't imagine that it has, because the contemporary Christian audience has grown so much, you know, and so I can't imagine that statistic still stands. But
yeah, this was in 2002 in the Encyclopedia of Contemporary Christian Music. He stated that it was the best-selling Christian album to date. So that's where it was in 2002, which I thought was pretty crazy. I had no idea. And I also liked how he compared what they had achieved with that first album with what the Grateful Dead did in concert. I thought that was so interesting. It's fascinating how, this was going on in the United States, and then also over in the UK, there was a huge gospel beat, is what they called it, movement as well, in the early 70s, you know, late 60s, early 70s. And then it spread over here. And boy, those guys just like stepped right into the perfect timing on this.
They did. They really did. And I think what's so cool about it is that they didn't set out to become a Christian band. You know what?
Yeah.
These guys were they were all living kind of communally in this one house in Laguna Beach, you know, doing drugs and just writing music.
Yeah.
And God got a hold of these guys, and each one of them, through that whole Jesus revolution, the Jesus movement, became believers. And then they just started writing music about God. And so when they went to Chuck Smith, like that story I told earlier.
Yeah.
They were just saying, you know, "We've got these songs that are just expressing our faith. You know, we'd love to share them." Mm-hmm. They had no clue what was going to come of that, you know.
Yeah, I love that.
And they talk about just going out and playing everywhere. They'd get calls to go play at a school. Or, you know, they would do it. They never said no. It wasn't, they never had egos about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And they just followed, you know, the leading that they had. And it was just, you know, there was a ministry behind it, if you will.
Totally. It's so funny. I was reading this thing talking about the movement over in the United Kingdom. In the Daily Mirror headline of September 1971, it said, "Suddenly Jesus Christ is more popular than the Beatles." That was the headline. You know, inverting John Lennon's half-cocked, you know. But those guys, that's when it all kind of, you know, was going down. And it was true. You know, so many, I was listening to a lot of secular acts were doing Jesus music. You know, the Kinks were doing Jesus music. And the Moody Blues.
Yeah.
Let's spin another tune right now by Love Song. Here's Two Hands on Radio Free Peace. Back on the show with Ron Strand. I did want to talk a little bit about the Upper Room Presents because it's still going strong. Tell us how that came about.
Well, my wife and I were invited to somebody's house in Orange County, and there was going to be this former NFL football player by the name of Ed McGlasson, who had written a book about the heart of the father. Uh-huh. And we went. It was a small gathering at somebody's home and maybe 15, 20 people there.
Yeah.
But he talked about what the book was about. And I was so taken about the subject matter and his heart. Mm-hmm. I said, would you be willing to come to our home group that we had and do that same talk? He said, I'd be happy to. So what we did is instead of just having our home group there, which was maybe 15 plus people, we ended up inviting friends and family. And by the time all the people in the group invited friends and family, there was like 75 people, and it just got a little bit large for our home.
Wow.
So I had a vacant office space, you know, where my business is, mm-hmm. in the upstairs of all places, which is a place that you came and played originally.
Right.
And so we held it there, and me and my buddies, who later became the Turds, which we'll talk, we got to make sure people understand what that acronym is.
Absolutely. The Upper Room Dudes.
The Upper Room Dudes. And so we did a little opening set, you know, with worship songs, and then Ed McGlashan spoke, and it went so well. And I got such great feedback, I thought, you know, we should start doing this, you know, maybe once a quarter. So for a few months, we did it once a quarter and had different people. And then I started thinking, you know, I'd love to have some Christian musical artists come in. So I just started inviting, you know, trying to find some of these old artists that I knew of, and they were more than eager to come. And so we started becoming known as a music venue.
Right.
And so we started doing it every month. And if I can tell a little story right now, a little anecdotal story.
Okay.
I reached out to Dan Peek, and I had no clue about you and Ken, but I thought, you know, if I can get Dan Peek to come and play, that would be awesome, because I was a huge, huge America fan.
Oh, sure.
And Dan surprisingly responded to my email, and he said, "Hey, Ron, I appreciate you reaching out." He said, "I'm kind of just going through some different things right now, and I'm not really going out and doing any concerts," he says, "but I'd like to introduce you to my buddies, Ken Marvin and Brian Gentry." And, of course, he gave me your contact. I contacted you.
Yeah.
And I know that first time you came out, I remember Ken couldn't make that gig, and you came out.
Right.
And it was such a great time, and you and I connected. And you actually did, or I guess we should say, the turds, the Upper Room Dudes,
right,
did a couple of America numbers with you, which was such a great memory for us. We still talk about it.
Oh, yeah. But now, you know, you had me out there right after Dan died, which I didn't know. I didn't really mean to drive the ship in that direction totally, but that was a very special night because it was such a, you know, we did a tribute to Dan Peek.
Yes.
And he had just passed away, and it just so happened I was going to be out there.
Well, I remember you were torn. I remember that, because I even said, "Hey," because I know that Catherine, Dan's wife, asked you to participate and be a pallbearer in the funeral. And I know you were torn because you had a gig, and I said, "Brian, it's okay. You know, we could reschedule." And I remember you said that you went back to Catherine and said, "You know, I've got this gig, and I'm trying to get out of it, and you know, to be there." And she said, "You know what, Dan? You know what, Brian? Dan wouldn't have wanted you to change that. He would want you to go and play that gig." And so you did, and I was so grateful. And it turned out to be such a wonderful evening.
It was. I tell you, that was one of the most emotional, well, the most emotional show I think I've ever done, because it was on the heels of his passing, and just, and then being there in Southern California where he became famous. So it was a night to remember. Wow. What a big night.
Indeed.
And I will never be able to thank you enough for, you know, having us out there. And we had one night with Bob Bennett. I think Marvin and Gentry were there for that. And then
that's right.
Marvin and Gentry out there with
Daryl Mansfield.
Daryl Mansfield.
Yeah, that was
Daryl
Mansfield. New Year's Eve celebration. We had you and Ken.
Yeah, that was a big night. That was fun.
Yeah, it was a fun night.
Well, back to Love Song. I really want to hear Little Country Church. Tell me this. Did I dream this?
Sorry.
But did Phil Kagi join Love Song at one point in their...
Yes.
In those, okay.
Yes, he did. He did for about 6 months. Their lead guitarist at the time, and Phil tells this story in the documentary, but their lead guitarist at the time was a fellow by the name of Bob Wall, who since passed away.
Oh, wow.
A wonderful guy. And Bob was having some marital issues at the time, and he said, "Hey, guys, I got to step away for a while."
Yeah.
And so this was right at the height of their, you know, popularity. They were touring all over the place. So they were driving along on tour in a tour van one day, and Jay Truax, their bass player, was reading some magazine, and it was a feature on Phil Kagi, who was a new Christian at the time. He came out of the group Glass Harp.
Yeah.
And they said, they asked him in this magazine interview, they said, "Well, who is your favorite band?" And he says, "Well, it's actually this Christian rock group that I heard that he got these little bootleg tapes of called Love Song, and they're based..."
Wow.
"...California." And that blew them away because they were big fans of Phil Kagi and Glass Harp.
Oh, sure.
And so Jay said, "I found a way to get a hold of Phil, and they said, would you come out and join us? He said, I would love to. So he said they left him and his wife Bernadette, and they drove out and met up with the guys in Southern California. Phil played with them for about 6 months until Bob was able to get things squared away and came back.
Unbelievable. Wow.
Yeah.
Let's hear Little Country Church right now on Radio Free Peace. Show here, Little Country Church by Love Song, sounding so good on Radio Free Peace. My guest is Ron Strand. Let's see, Ron, I was looking over your bio here. It says you are a triathlete,
it's one of my many accomplishments.
Javelin thrower.
I played in the 72 Olympics, yeah.
Pole vaulting champion.
Still hold the world record. Yeah, I still hold the world record in all of those. Yeah, I'm one of the most portly pole vaulters in the history of the Olympics.
Oh my goodness! I was laughing.
Well, that's what makes me so unique.
That's right. I'm in the club, man. It's a cool club.
Yeah.
I've been around the club for a long time. It happens. Something happens with the gravity when we start getting up in age.
That's for sure.
But yeah, we were talking about Phil Kagi. You know, you were commenting on Phil, how he joined the band there for a while. And I had met him once before, years ago, right after Keith Green died. And I had a chance to meet Melody Green, of all people. And I was telling him about that at that evening. That's so wild that he joined their band for a while.
Yeah, he was there at the Nashville showing, he and his wife. I think the same night you were there, we did two nights.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a wonderful guy.
Yeah.
Gentleman. What a great guy.
He is great. I was joking around with him that night because I was telling him that I've been telling people that Phil Kagi opened for Marvin and Gentry because he played the month before we went out there.
Great.
He was probably like, easy freak. So, back to Love Song again. Ron, tell us a little bit more about the documentary, because a lot of folks don't know about it. Tell them when it's coming out, where it's going to be seen, and how we can know more about the band Love Song.
Yeah, sure. Well, the exact date for release, we're not quite sure yet, but it'll be sometime in 2024 for sure.
Okay.
Hopefully within the next 3 to 6 months is our hope, because we're going through all the back end legal stuff. You know, it's the first time I've made a film or been involved with one, and it's staggering to you go through all this copyright stuff at the end to make sure you you know, you're clearing everything. And it's a long, long legal process, because every song we play in there and every, you know, still photo we've got to get clearance for.
Oh yeah.
So that process is still going on. So hopefully once that's done, we've already contracted with a marketing company that's going to promote and market the piece, and they're really excited about it. They're based out of New York. So once we're out of that and we get the marketing going, they said that we should do about an 8-month ramp up. So if we, well, we're actually probably going to start the marketing this month. So what does that take us to? Probably toward October, November is when we'll probably release.
Oh, wow.
And which will be a little over eight and a half years since we started the project, because it was 2017 when we started.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's been a long, long road. And we've done it all by, you know, raising donations to do this. And, you know, some benefactors who endowed us with some major capital to help it get done.
Right.
But it'll be on a streaming platform, yet to be determined. We've had offers from two major platforms that are really excited about doing it, and we're still kind of going over the fine details of each offer to see which one would work best. It'll be something that people can just download and watch or rent or whatever it is. So that's how it's going to be released. It's not going to be a theatrical release where it's in a theater, because it is three parts.
Right, right. Very cool. Our guest is Ron Strand. Ron, who is the executive producer of a band called Love Song. Let's hear Since I Opened the Door by Love Song right here on Radio Free Peace. All I can say, Lord, you really. back on the show since I opened the door, my love song. And we're talking with Ron Strand, the executive producer of this kind of incredible three-part documentary about this first Jesus rock band.
We went through great pains and details trying to figure out if they were the first or one of the first. They probably were one of the first nationally known Christian rock bands. There were a few others doing some stuff. And of course, there was like, there were some solo artists like Larry Norman.
Yeah.
You know, people like that. But as a group, a band, yes, they could probably claim that moniker as the first nationally known Christian rock band.
Yeah, I think it is so cool with all that you're doing with them. I know it's going to reach a whole new generation like you were talking about. And it's really cool because it lets people know that this was a big deal. This happened. And I always think about how in scriptures, God always says to remember this, remember that. And really, I think this is what you guys are doing with this three-part documentary.
Well, what it is, for your audience who are familiar with the movie Jesus Revolution.
Yes.
This is really the backstory, which goes into a lot more detail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a dramatization. This is a documentary, so it's got real people in it and so forth. And it's really the backstory. And we didn't build on this from that show because, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, this has been 8.5 years in the making, or will be by the time it comes out. So we started this way before they started that. You know, the Irwin brothers started that that movie. I'm not trying to draw comparisons and say that, you know, one is better than the other. It's just that this is...
I like that.
Just coincidentally, it's the backstory.
The backstory, yeah. A band called Love Song. Check it out. Ron Strand, our guest here on Radio Free Peace. Ron, you've got your own talk show. I want you to set it up.
Well, thanks, Brian. During COVID, when we were not able to meet for the upper room and have our events, I wanted to figure out a way to keep in touch with our audience. So I just started a weekly podcast.
Right.
And, or, you know, I guess they call it a video blog or video podcast.
Yeah.
And it's basically an interview. I just started having people on, you know, various guests. You can find it. It's called Real Talk with Ron Strand. And you can go to our YouTube channel, which is The Upper Room Presents. If you just type in on YouTube, The Upper Room Presents, you'll find all the past interviews there. And there's a variety of, it's not all musicians. It's different people and focus on basically on people's story, their backstory, people of note in the Christian community, and to hear their testimony and their journey.
Well, this is Radio Free Peace. I'm Brian Gentry. To my left is Michael Witte, and our guest has been Ron Strand, who is the executive producer of a band called Love Song, among other things, frontman for the Turds. We got that covered.
Which you are an honorary member of, you know, Brian.
An honorary member. There you go. So
you are.
You know, and I'm honored to be. But we'll have to get together again soon, Ron. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Have a great week, everybody.